Amen, amen. It's great to be with you all. If a Latino visits a place a second time, he feels at home. So this feels home. It feels like if I'm coming home. So thank you for that warm welcome. As already explained, I am the director of Latino-led ministries for the Pacific Southwest Conference, and I also co-pastor Stockton Covenant Church with my lovely wife, Juana Nesta, which she is preaching today at Stockton Covenant, which is great because she's a better preacher than I am. But glad to be with you all, and our superintendent, Brian Murphy, sends his greetings, and our 156 churches send their greetings. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 40, verse 30, and I labeled this message a foretaste. In the midst of all the news, the bad news that we're seeing, we're just being bombarded by bad news. I wanted to give you an encouraging message this morning. And I wanted to talk about like the things that are coming, the things that you can expect. And it's a foretaste. We have a foretaste of that in the scriptures and what Jesus came and brought to his disciples and the people that were living in his time. So Mark chapter 4, verse 30 reads, "Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable shall we use to describe it?" I think in this passage, it's awesome that the author records an moment. It's almost like if Jesus is thinking at that moment, what should we compare the kingdom of God to be like? Or what parable should we use to describe that? I think everything that Jesus did is compared to what I call my favorite object in the world. Can we show that object there? A pink little spoon from Baskin Robbins. Yeah. And you know, why is it my favorite object in this world? Because you get to foretaste what you want to eat, a scoop or a pint or whatever. Hopefully not a pint, but all at once. But you get to foretaste one of your favorite ice creams. So in popcorn style, just name some of your favorite ice creams. Rocky Road, chocolate, Cherry Garcia, I heard. Bubblegum? Somebody said bubblegum? Cool. Buttery pecan? Cool, cool. I love all of them. So when I go to Baskin Robbins, I really have to ask for the Holy Spirit's empowerment to help me restrain myself from choosing all of them. But isn't it great to foretaste something? And you get that little spoon and you taste a flavor, and then you're like, I feel like more like something like this, something with cherry, or something with chocolate, something with nuts, or something with, you know, less sweet or whatever. And then you order the whole thing, you know, like a whole scoop or two scoops, and then you get to enjoy that. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us a foretaste of his kingdom, of himself, and of the people that are going to be in his kingdom. So I just want to talk about those three things as we talk about this. So the first thing I want to talk about is, in this passage, Jesus is really just taking a moment to choose a particular parable to nuance that would describe a nuance of his kingdom. And the passage that follows next is the passage of the mustard seed. And the mustard seed, he describes that it's a little seed, the smallest seed. And then when it's fully grown, it's a big tree. So it starts small and grows huge. And it's a comparison of his kingdom, because his kingdom started small with himself, then his disciples, then more disciples, and then what we see now, the full expression. As we preach the gospel to the whole world, we see the kingdom grow in an enormous way. Amen? So I just want to take a moment to talk about his kingdom. I don't have too much time to nuance it too much, because his kingdom is a pink, what he taught about his kingdom is a pink little spoon of what we're going to taste when we get to heaven and beyond. So So first, let's talk about this. So first of all, his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest from the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. His kingdom is not represented by the elephant or the donkey. It's represented by the lamb. I guess the idea that I'm trying to portray is that we are all going to benefit from this kingdom. All believers get to experience the true shalom of his kingdom. It doesn't matter where you're born, because there won't be third world countries or first world countries. There will only be one kingdom and one king. Amen? So is this kingdom and his righteousness worth seeking after? Absolutely. Say with me, absolutely. The Bible says that one of Jesus' name is the Prince of Peace. We will find true shalom in God's kingdom after he makes all his enemies a footstool of his feet, as mentioned in Psalm 110. Jesus came announcing his kingdom, and with that, he healed the sick. He liberated people that were being tormented by demons. He healed the paralytics. He gave sight to the blind. He healed people that were hemorrhaging. So many miracles that he performed, because all of the things that his people were being tormented by do not exist in the kingdom of God. So everything that he did was a pink little spoon of what we're going to experience in his kingdom. So is his kingdom worth pursuing after? Absolutely. So in his kingdom, let's mention the things that are not in his kingdom. There won't be any war. No more poverty. No more homelessness. Get this, no more traffic. No more pollution. No more crime. And no more death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There won't even be the need for light. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives the light, and the Lamb is the lamp. Revelation 21:23. God will restore all people and earth to perfection again. Do not have time. Again, I don't have time to go into the details. The kingdom was here when Jesus was present, because he brought kingdom and the benefits of his kingdom. But his kingdom was in heaven. And then his kingdom will come down to earth when the holy city and the earth is made new. Amen? Pink spoon. Another pink spoon is the transfiguration event. It is clear a foretaste of our King Jesus and his glory. Jesus was wonderful here on earth. And he was 100% man and 100% God. But Jesus is so much more, as we see in Revelation. The Bible says that Jesus took Peter, John, and James to a mountaintop, and he transformed before them, giving them a bigger pink spoon experience than the little pink spoon experience. He revealed himself as the true King of glory. Peter was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to do. Should we build three tabernacles? One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And then a cloud covered them, and Jesus was revealed. This is my son. Listen to him. Lots of people got to see Jesus in this earth. They even got to see the resurrected Jesus. And some of them didn't even recognize him, like the two disciples walking to Emmaus, until Jesus broke bread and shared that wonderful experience with them, and their eyes were opened. But John was the only one that got to experience the transfiguration and then a vision of the true Jesus that he writes about in Revelations. So in Revelations 1, verse 12 through 18, I'll read it. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned and saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Now note, he had a wonderful tan. And his voice was like a sound of rushing waters. His right hand held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Can you imagine? There's a song that says, "What will my heart do when I stand before Jesus?" The brilliant and the glory of Jesus, the Shekinah glory, maybe that was in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. All of that was present. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. And I was dead, and now look, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." John got to experience the glorified Christ, as we all will when we get into his presence. So what we experience in the Bible and the descriptions of Jesus Christ and his interaction with people is just a foretaste. It's just a little spoon. But when we get into his presence, we're going to experience this glorified Christ. Amen? The kingdom of God will not only be a perfect kingdom, but we will have an awesome king. Jesus will be revealed in his true glory when we get to his presence. The third thing that I'd like to talk about, the third spoon, is diversity. Diversity is a foretaste of the kingdom people. The Bible reveals that God's people, in the Old Testament, he focused on the Israelites. But in the New Testament, he commissions his disciples to go to the uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? And the fruit of that is in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And it says, "And after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, even from Argentina, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the hands, they cried out in loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God and sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" In the beginning of the verse, he talks about maybe the Jewish people and how there was 12,000 people from each tribe, the 144,000 that is mentioned. And that's probably specific to the Jewish people. But in this verse, it talks about all of the people. And this people is a diverse people. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every tongue, every language is represented there. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Diversity is in heaven. If you don't like diversity, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. God created diversity. God created a diverse people. And you see this. So diversity is beautiful. The diversity in languages are beautiful. In the Tower of Babel, God confuses the language because they were doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. But in Acts chapter 2, God unifies the languages. And he gives them a spiritual language. And it's this language of the Holy Spirit where they're able to understand one another for unification purposes. So language is beautiful. It breaks my heart when people, say, "Well, you shouldn't speak this language or you shouldn't speak that language." When I was growing up, going through elementary school, all I knew was Spanish. It's the heavenly language. So all I can speak was Spanish. And my kindergarten teacher would get upset, and it was when, the English language movement started, and all the schools needed to just learn English. And they would punish us. We would have to stay in the classroom. We wouldn't go out to play because they caught us speaking Spanish. You cannot speak Spanish in the classroom. You cannot speak Spanish while you're coming to school. And so I spent a lot of time in that classroom just looking at the window, watching the kids play. And then that started creating something like a, like an embarrassment for my culture and my language. I didn't want to speak Spanish for a long time. And so, you know, I would just answer my parents, But then I discovered the beauty of our culture and our language. And then I took all my Spanish grammar in college, and I learned it well. But what I want to explain to you, from a kingdom perspective, shouldn't we be teaching all the languages? There's this song called The Blessing, and you probably sang it here before. But there was a project that was done in Europe, and they sang this song in 31 languages. Beautiful, beautiful. You don't understand most of them, but you understand the song, you understand the words of the song, and you're like, I could get into that. And then that song is actually has been translated into 140 languages. I know that some of the cities in the Bay Area, like Oakland has in their school district, represented 160 languages. And Martin Luther King says, the church is not doing too well with this. The most segregated time in America is the 11 o'clock hour. But not you guys. I know you guys embrace diversity and diversity of people. But diversity is a gift from God. And diversity will be in heaven. And so we should embrace diversity. Diversity is a foretaste of what we're actually going to experience in His kingdom. It's a pink spoon. So we should embrace it. I think the best thing that makes America great is its diversity. Amen? And if you agree with me, could you give the Lord a praise? Clap or whatever? So we have to embrace that. We're praying because I know as you go into this transition, what you've done now up until this point, I feel is a foretaste of what God has in store for Covenant Grove. Yes. And so we will be praying for you because God is going to do wonderful things here in Modesto. Amen? So let me just lift you all in prayer, and we'll conclude here. Pink spoon. Jesus came to give the world a pink spoon. But one day, we will have the whole gallon. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all you've done here in Modesto with this wonderful community called Covenant Grove. I know you're not done. And I know that up until this point, you have given this community a foretaste of what you're going to do with them in the future. We thank you for Scott Nelson and his family. Thank you for his years of service. And we lift this church into your presence. Bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.